And welcome now to the midday for Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and when you hear that there's going to be a farmer's market concert, you might misconstrue what exactly that means, especially if the performer is an organist. And we'll get it all sorted out from my guest today, Adrian Binkley. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you.
You're from Madison originally, so you know your way around, know how to find the farmer's market and all that. But you're actually, I assume, since you're an organist, going to be playing in the Overture Center.
Yes, that's correct.
It's got to be a little bit of a relief. But this is, second or third year, I think, that these farmer's market concert, 11th? The 11th year, okay. Well, clearly we have some catching up to do. And this concert is going to be, Adrian's concert is going to be this Saturday, that's the 18th at 11 o'clock in the morning, during the farmer's market, of course. And you are now, I mentioned originally from Madison, but going to be at Curtis, where you've got a 100% free ride.
Yes, that's correct.
Based on your ability to perform. What all did you have to perform to in that audition for Curtis?
Actually, many of the pieces I'll be playing on Saturday as well, including a Bach Prelude and Fugue, two movements of the Viator Symphony I'll be performing, and the Dupré Prelude and Fugue, a trio sonata, and there were also tests and sight reading and hymn playing.
Now, organs vary, right? I mean, you might be very familiar with practicing on, performing on a certain organ, but if you go to audition someplace, unlike, you know, a violinist or a pianist even, you really, to a great extent, have to start over, don't you, when you're on some other instrument?
Yes. I mean, you do get some experience just having played on multiple organs, but they typically give you around an hour to set up what you want your pieces to sound like, called registering, basically. And so I was given about an hour at Curtis. The same thing with the other two schools I applied to. So it's a little stressful, but it's nothing that one can't handle.
Well, handling has a lot to do. It's not just hands either, it's feet, which, you know, we talk about multitasking, but then you also have to... do you have to turn pages, or are you better off committing all these pieces to memory?
Typically better off with memory. And so at Curtis, one of the audition requirements is that all of your pieces are performed from memory. And so all of the pieces on Saturday's program will also be memorized.
All right. So how does that work with the feet? I mean, you know, we're talking about pianists. We're thinking, okay, you know, it's a pedal, and there are two or three pedals on the piano and that create certain effects. But with an organ, it's actually a keyboard that you're playing with your feet. It's another whole keyboard world down there.
I find it's actually sort of easier to memorize for organ than it is for piano, just because of the added level of complexity. You kind of have that rhythm in your brain going so much more strongly. And so typically you'll start off by doing one hand and pedals, the other hand and pedals, both hands together, various combinations just to create all sorts of types of memory.
Do organists make good dancers?
I like to think so.
Well, let's hear some of it. Again, this is some of the music that got you that full scholarship at Curtis, and it's also some of the music that you're going to be playing Saturday morning at the Overture Center. The first of the pieces we'll hear is, a composer who's, I think, almost inevitably represented in organ recitals. I mean, how can you get around Bach, right? Or why would you want to, for that matter? And one of the greatest organists who ever lived, apparently, in addition to writing for it. This comes from an organ sonata of Bach's?
Yes, the trio sonata. He wrote six.
And is this the first movement?
This is the opening movement.
He starts with Vivace. Is that unusual?
Not terribly unusual. It's typically a fast movement, slow movement, and then another fast movement. So most of the sonatas are three movements long in that sort of fashion.
Okay, so here it is, Vivace from Bach's organ sonata, number 6 in G, played by my guest today, Adrian Binkley. was recorded at Interlaken back in April of this year, and it was part of the senior recital of Adrian Binkley.
Yes.
The Vivace, the first movement of Bach's Organ Sonata number 6 in G. You have some extracurriculars, too. You spend some time on the tennis court, I hear.
I do. This is my fourth or third summer teaching tennis at Wanakee.
Oh, okay. So we have you back for the summer? Is that, that how that works?
Yes.
You have a recording here, same occasion, last April, that senior recital. And again, this piece and the one we just heard and a fair number of others will be on the recital this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Overture Center. Adrian Binkley will be performing for that occasion. Another composer, though, that seems inevitable, if you're talking about the organ, is Widor, who has, you know, all those powerful pieces, you know, that he writes. And also, on the other hand, something called cantabile.
Yes. Well, the cantabile is one of the movements of the Sixth Symphony he wrote. He wrote 10 of them, and they were very, I think, his most prolific addition to the organ world. The seventh and eighth aren't very well, or at least very oftenly played. But the sixth one and the Itaccata from the fifth are fairly famous. But they really show the kind of breadth that was occurring, at least in France of that time, because there was an organ builder by the name of Cavier Cole, and they were experimenting with much more color in the organ than was previously used. And so many of Viador's symphonies, including number 6, really just exploited that whole gamut of colors introduced by the Cavier Coles.
Was it possible to write impressionistic music for the organ, as so many French composers did for the piano and the orchestra?
Yes. I think that happened more after Viador's time, with composers like Messiaen and Reger. But certainly there is quite a bit of ethereal type music written by French composers.
All right, so this is the cantabile from the Organ Symphony number 6 by Widor.
Thank you.
one of the gentler moments in the works of Udor, who was, I think it's safe to say, one of those composers who was an organ specialist. That was the Cantabile from his Organ Symphony No. 6, and again, that was recorded back in April at Interlaken by my guest today, Adrian Binkley, who's going to be performing this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock at Overture on the Overture Concert Organ, and that's a free performance, too. That's part of the farmer's market phenomenon. Did you, I know you mentioned, Adrian, you're also a pianist. Did you get into performing the organ from the piano, or was it kind of the two things at the same time? How did that develop?
I started on piano, as a lot of organists did. I was about 5 years old, I think, when I started taking piano lessons. And eventually, when I was around the age of 11, I had heard a lot of iTunes recordings of various organ pieces. I mean, Bach's Passacaglia in C minor and the famous Toccata and Fugue in D minor and pieces like that. And so I was very fascinated by it. And I was like, well, can I get some lessons on an organ? My parents for a while were like, no, you can't. But I kept asking, and after about 5 or 6 months, they just realized that, well, he may be actually kind of serious about this. And so I got to have an organ lesson with Professor Max Yount, the professor emeritus at Beloit College. And then I worked with him for a couple of years, went to summer camp at Interlaken in 2011-2012, studied off and on with Sam Hutchison, and now I'm back studying with him over the summers and off to Curtis in the fall.
Well, it's just one more quick one. As a starting organist, though, what do you play? I mean, you can't just tell your parents, oh, I would like for you to buy me a pipe organ. Mm. I mean, how do you work that out?
I was able to go to a local church to practice starting out. And eventually, my family had a Yamaha grand piano at the time. We were able to trade that in for a small digital Johannes organ keyboard and just a digital Yamaha piano. And so now actually that digital organ resides in my bedroom, which makes it sound a lot bigger than it is. But so I can either practice there or at local churches. But starting out, typically just organs in the area are the best way.
Well, thanks for stopping by, and we'll look forward to having you play again an organ in our area, which is the one at Overture.
Thank you very much.
Adrian Binkley, from the Madison area originally and coming back to perform this Saturday morning.